All right, good morning, everybody. It's 8:30 on the dot, so we're going to get started. My name is David Alfassi, and I work for a company called NetLogon Technologies. We work a lot in certification for Microsoft Learning. I have lots of certification behind me. Certification has played a huge role in my life, and we'll be covering a lot of subjects regarding certification today. I'm supposed to have a co-presenter. I think he had a really good night last night. So you guys get just me today. Today we'll be covering a lot about the changes in certification that have come about in the last couple of years for Microsoft Learning. We'll talk a lot about the various certifications that are available. We'll talk about the content in the exams that you have to take in order to become certified. So we'll talk a little bit about how those exams come about and the types of questions that exist in those exams. What you can expect essentially when you go out and take a Microsoft certification exam. So, certification in you. We call it certification in you, and the reason why we do that is because we talk about the role that certification plays in your life. I'm trying to think, was that me that was whistling? No, there's something coming out back there. How can certification change your career path? What kind of different career paths are available to you based on the certification choices that you make? And we talk a lot about what that does for you from a personal standpoint, from a career standpoint. And I'm not going to spend too much time talking about the various changes that you can decide to make in terms of certification themselves for you and as a career choice, but I'll really talk about what it does in terms of the perspective that other people have towards you. So definitely for you, there's an increased amount of confidence that you have based on certification. And that really happens a lot, and I see it often. Individuals that know that they're working with a certain technology, but sometimes you just don't know how much you know. I feel confident with what I do in my job, but I don't really know if what I know is the whole breadth of the product, if I really learned various aspects of the products that will take me beyond my current job and my current opportunities. If I get certified, I have an additional confidence in knowing that what I know is sufficient to take me beyond just the boundaries of my own responsibilities in this job right now. So this is a very important aspect. When I study for an exam, and when I go out and actually prepare for an exam, I realize that I have to study also the certain things that maybe are not part of my daily responsibilities. So I enhance my own knowledge of the product by studying and preparing for an exam. And this happens with me every single time that I've prepared for an exam. And I say most people that I know that are also preparing for exams, they're just pushing themselves and learning and filling those little holes, those gaps of knowledge that they may have to ensure that they're going to be able to pass that exam. So it's a great motivator from that perspective as well. So for your career, it definitely shows a tremendous amount of commitment, both in your job, in your knowledge, and in your career by going and getting certified. You're demonstrating to your employee that this job is important to you. You're demonstrating that you want to further your knowledge and that also there's potential for you to further your career within that company. And so that is definitely a very important thing. And we see that often that it's a great way to set yourself apart from the other individuals at your company. Certification is a differentiator. We call it a discriminator in some cases. It discriminates between qualified and unqualified. Well, in a job, it also discriminates between the people who are really pushing their career and those that don't necessarily want to or may not have the drive to. So this is a very important thing to do in order to enhance that career aspect. For customers, if you're actually consulting for customers, if you have, you're generating billable hours, well, the more certified you are, the higher those billable hours can go. And often I'm in a situation where the customer will ask me, and I do consulting as well, my technology of choice is Exchange Server, and when I go into a customer and they ask me, well, how do I know that you know? Well, certification is one way of showing them that you know, okay? There's other ways of doing it as well. But sometimes when somebody just doesn't know you and they don't know the breadth of experience that you have and they don't know the knowledge you have, that is that first great credential that you can present to ensure that you differentiate yourself again from other consultants that are out there. So for yourself, for your career, for your job, for customers if you're generating billable hours, certification has all these benefits for you. So now let's talk a little bit about the various Microsoft certifications that are out there. There's three primary levels of Microsoft certifications: the associate, the expert, and the master. And they're organized in this neat little triangle. because the mass amount of individuals that we'll have will be more certified around the associate level. So this is something that may be similar to what you knew as the MCSA, Microsoft Certified Systems Administrator is what we used to call it. Okay? So that was that first level of certification, and we'll talk about how many exams that you need to do to get to that level. Typically, that level is, we're talking about 1 to 2 years experience. The next level you move on to is expert. Now, expert, somebody who's going to move on to the expert solution is going to have more experience dealing with a wider breadth of products. So maybe not only one specific technology, but multiple technologies and how they interact and work together to get to that expert level. And that's what you guys used to know as the MCSE, or the Microsoft Certified Systems Engineer, is the old way we used to call it. And I'll talk about the new way soon. And then there's the Master. Microsoft Certified Solutions Master is the top tier level of certification. This one requires a much greater amount of investment and commitment from the individual to get to that master level. There are very few masters certified in any given technologies around the world right now. And when I say very few, I mean in the few hundreds. For example, we have a master program for Exchange, for SQL, for Active Directory, and there's just several hundred individuals that are certified at that level. So very few top-tier individuals that have decided to put in the commitment of time and effort and financial commitment as well to get certified at that level. Sorry. So MCSA today is called the Microsoft Certified Solutions Associate. MCSE, Microsoft Certified Solutions Expert. And MCSM, Microsoft Certified Solutions Master. That one thread that you see there is the term solutions, is a new term that is in Microsoft certifications. And this is a true representation of the fact that the certification focus goes beyond just the product. So we're not talking about you just getting certified in Link. You're getting certified in a greater solution. How Link interacts with Office 365, how it interacts with Exchange, how it interacts with SharePoint, how it interacts with Windows. There's a wider breadth that is required for Microsoft certification exams today, and that is represented in this word solutions. Okay? So the solutions certifications are going to require you to be able to look at how product interacts with other and how to provide a complete solution. And you don't have to worry about knowing what is going to be covered and what's not going to be covered in the exam, because we provide that information for you. Okay? Every single exam is going to have a listing of topics that are covered. At any point, if you've got any questions, just raise your hand. We're not really doing a question period, so any point you have a question, just go ahead and ask me. I know that I have a little bottom slide that says Microsoft Confidential. It's a little mistake in my editing. None of this information here is confidential or NDA. It's all public information. All right, changes to the certification and exam. There have been many changes. Can I just have a show of hands here? Who is certified already? Please show your hands. All right, about half of you. And out of you guys that are certified, how many has not taken an exam in at least a year? Most of you. All right, perfect. So all of this is new to you. Changes in certification exams have come about, and they've been published for at least the last year or so. And what are those changes? Well, those changes are the result of feedback that have been provided by consumers, by Microsoft customers. They've been telling Microsoft that, hey, we feel that your exams are, A, maybe not as rigorous as they should be, and not as demanding, and they might not cover as much breadth as I feel is necessary to, again, discriminate me from the qualified and the unqualified individuals. So Microsoft has made a true effort to push forward the level of rigor and breadth in the exams and the real-world aspect also in the exams. So you'll find that these certification exam questions that if you take today, exams on Windows 2012, even Windows 2008, because though it's an older generation exam, the questions have been refreshed to match these guidelines, you'll find that the questions are much more challenging. They cover a much wider breadth of subjects, and they will truly challenge the individual much more. So the rigor has been tremendously enhanced, and one of the natural ways that the rigor has been enhanced is also by bringing in the solutions aspect I was talking about before. Okay? The fact that we're now covering wider breadth of solution rather than just a simple product makes it naturally more rigorous or quote-unquote difficult. All right? The relevance as well, again, the fact that we're trying to make sure that when you see a question, you'll see, well, who would ever have an environment like that? This is just not relevant to my job. We make, again, a very much concerted effort to ensure that the questions have relevant information and that you can relate to the scenarios and to the environments that are presented in the question. Recertification is a new requirement now as well. The specific timelines haven't been announced yet in terms of when you need to recertify for these certifications that are available right now, but you can expect that you will need to recertify to maintain your certification current when a new version of the product comes out. And the goal of that is to ensure that if somebody's certified, they're certified on the latest generation. I hated that when I got my first MCSE on NT 4.0, and there was guys that were around me when I was working on Active Directory for like 5-6 years, and they called themselves MCSE. And I was an MCSE too, but they were an MCSE on NT 4.0. So they had never seen Active Directory, and they knew nothing about it. But the hiring manager didn't have the ability to differentiate between those two individuals. In the future, they will be, because the certification will be associated with a generation of the product. So you'll be able to differentiate between the individual's skill set. All right, so I mentioned most of the reasons as to why these changes have come about and how the certifications has changed. One of the things that I didn't mention is the cloud focus. So to represent the cloud skills that are in demand right now, certification was also reinvented or re-engineered for that. So today, pretty much any certification that you take, there is a cloud element. So if you're taking exams on Exchange Server, Link Server, or SharePoint, there'll be interaction with Office 365, for example. There are certifications now on private cloud solutions. Okay? There are certifications also purely on Office 365. So all of this has been reinvented to ensure that the skill set that is required for cloud management or managing data centers and cloud-based solutions is going to be covered in the certifications. All right, so now let's look at the individual certifications. First of all, the Microsoft Certified Solutions Associate. The MCSA, again, we're targeting an individual that has 1 to 2 years experience. This will be the entry-level certification for someone who comes into an IT certification program. You can expect 3 exams, typically, that will be required to pass to attain an MCSA. Most of them are 3. Today, we have 2 MCSAs, 3 MCSAs. We have an MCSA on Windows Server 2012, an MCSA on Windows 8, and an MCSA on SQL Server. Now, the MCSA on Windows 8 requires 2 exams, 2012, 3, and SQL 3 as well. Okay, so that's the overall requirement to get those. Now, the MCSA will then become the prerequisite for the next level of certification. You move on to the next step, you need to have the MCSA. The MCSE, Microsoft Certified Solutions Expert, or MCSD as well for the developer flavor, is at the same level. So we're looking at somebody that goes beyond the current just know how to use the product, but know how to implement a broader scale of the product. So we have several MCSEs. We have MCSEs messaging, communication, MCSE desktop infrastructure, MCSE server infrastructure. All of them focus on different aspects of implementing broad-scale solutions at the enterprise level. Typically, your MCSE will require an additional 2 exams. Okay? So, for example, MCSE Exchange is your MCSA on Windows 2012, so that's 3 exams, plus 2 exams on Exchange Server. Okay, so that's a total of 5 exams. If you remember the days of MCSE way back when, that was 7 exams. So fewer exams, broader scale of skills that are tested in those exams so that you don't have to spend as much time and as much money taking multiple exams. Recertification requirement, every 2 to 3 years. Usually it's going to be based on when the next version of the technology is going to be available. And again, the associate MCSA is what is required. So we're building on the tiers. The same thing if you decide to make that investment to the master level, you will also need to have the MCSE. The MCSE is a requirement for the master's. There's other requirements for the master level certification as well, such as 10 years experience and lots of ability to prove your experience with the technology, but you also need to have an MCSE. So these are some of these certifications that are available right now. Private cloud, BI, data platform, server infrastructure, desktop infrastructure, the web solutions as well, MCSD. Okay. Again, all of those, about 5 exams to get to those top tier certifications. And these are all our new logos as well. Those were announced last year and released last year. Again, if you just joined us, it says Microsoft Confidential there, but it's not. All this information is public. So in terms of the MCSE certifications, what you can expect, the main ones here that I've decided to show you guys, server infrastructure deals with Active Directory. That's the one. If you're an Active Directory expert, this is the one you're going to want to take. Okay? Active Directory, DNS, DHCP, Hyper-V, everything that's server infrastructure, data center, storage, backups, that's the one you're going to take. Probably the most popular out of the MCSE certifications. Desktop infrastructure, this one deals with deploying VDI solutions, deploying applications, so everything that's AppV, maintaining applications in a desktop environment. Okay, so it's not just, you know, installing desktops. That's not it at all. This is deploying images. This is maintaining images. Everything has to do with the desktop infrastructure. Private cloud, this is the full system center breadth of private cloud solutions. And this one is often very challenging to individuals who are new to System Center because they think, well, you know what, I've been working with System Center a little bit. I'm going to go and get certified on this one. This one covers all System Center products except for Config Manager. So you've got Service Manager, Operation Manager, I'm missing two more, Virtual Machine Manager, and somebody help me, there's one more. Was that? Orchestrator, thank you. So those are the four parts of System Center that are covered in this exam, and so that is a huge breadth of content in there. So private cloud, 2 exams to get the MCSE on private cloud. It's a very, very popular certification as well. BI, SQL Server 2012, Business Intelligence. There's another SQL Server 2012 MCSE as well, is the Data Platform. Just not listed there. Probably the more popular out of the two right now is the data platform. Has to do with managing databases and designing SQL databases. Exams 464 and 465. Messaging Exchange Server 2013. Again, this one will deal not only with Exchange Server, but it will also deal with coexistence with the cloud, Office 365. So hybrid environments between Exchange and Office 365. Environments that have Link and Exchange, and Exchange 2013. Unified messaging solutions, okay? All of those are together in the solution for the messaging exam. Communication is Link, again, Link and Office 365, and SharePoint, of course, SharePoint 2013 and Office 365. So you have all questions and content that covers the coexistence between the on-premises and the cloud-based solution in all of those last three MCSE certifications. So the question is the data platform certification married with the cloud as well? I'm not a SQL expert, but from what I remember reading in those, I'm going to say probably not. There is some mention of Azure and how that coexists, so there's probably an element, probably not as much as in the other certifications. But there always is, pretty much in all the MCSE certification, there always is an element of coexistence with the cloud. I'm going to say probably SQL is a little bit less. Maybe in the next generation. MCSD, Windows Store Apps, Web Application, and ALM. I'm not a developer, so I don't have much value to add, but those are the main three MCSEs, or MCSDs, sorry, that we have available right now. So those are all the Microsoft certifications that are available to you. Again, your path would likely take an MCSA route, move on to the MCSE. If you really want to specialize and differentiate yourself as one of the few top tier that are really investing in the technology, then the master solution is going to be the right one for you. Again, it takes a lot of time and money as well, but a worthwhile investment. So now let's take a little bit more in-depth look at the exams inside those certifications. One of the main changes I want to point out to you is Microsoft Learning has done this in the last, I'm going to say about a year or so, is that, you know, you can purchase courses that are taught by MCTs, Microsoft Certified Trainer, and those courses are available at certified education centers around the world where you can be taught one of the Microsoft courses, the official Microsoft courses. And those courses have course numbers, and we have also exams. And what Microsoft Learning has done this past year is marry those numbers together so that you know which course you need to take in order to go and pass a certain exam or attempt to pass an exam. So, for example, here for exam 687, which is the Windows 8 exam, there's a course. Well, the course number is 20687. By the way, that number 20 is in English. It relates to the language of the course. If you take this course in another language, it won't be 20. It'll be another number. But it will always have 687 in it. Okay, so you'll always be able to relate that. The courses are localized in many different languages. I think something like 17 languages. Same thing with the exams, by the way. All the exams are available in, most exams are available in several languages. The most popular exams are translated right away. Other exams may or may not be translated based on the amount of volume that they're taken around the world. So, two exams, MCSA on Windows 8. Again, there's two courses. There's a mapping one-to-one, one course to one exam. And I often get that question, is that back in the day, I used to have to take three courses for that one exam. Or that one exam was covered in five different courses. It's no longer the case. One exam, one course. Sometimes the courses are two-day courses, sometimes the courses are five-day courses, depending on the course. But it's always one exam, one course. MCSA Windows Server 2012, exams 410, 411, and 412. The way I look at these three exams is one big exam. Think about it as one big Windows 2012 exam, cut up in three parts. Okay? So to ensure that you have the stamina to go out and take those three exams, I look at it as just one big exam. And that covers pretty much everything that you need to know about Windows Server 2012. Anything from installation, to managing, to configuration, to DHCP, to DNS. Again, more at the configuration level, not at a broader scale solution level. And again, we're targeting individuals that have 1 to 2 years experience. So if you have more experience than that, it should be a little bit easier for you. If you're just at the 1 to 2 year experience, you can expect that you need to study quite amount use a lot of resources to study and then be able to go and take this exam if you have the ability and you have the experience with the product. I recommend to always take the exams in their flow of exam numbers. Sometimes people say, well, those exam numbers are just arbitrary. Why can't I just take 412 and then 410 and then 411? I recommend to take them in this route because they also increase in difficulty. Or I say difficulty, but it's really how deep the skills are is what's going to change as you move through the exam numbers. Once you have 410, 411, 412, we're moving up numerically to 413 and 414, the two server infrastructure MCSE exams. So the first one will take you into implementation of a server infrastructure. So there you can expect more breadth in terms of Active Directory and managing DNS in Active Directory. And then after that, we'll have an implementing an advanced server infrastructure where you'll have things like IPAM. You'll have things like, you know, a little bit of System Center with Hyper-V. You have some skills that are a little bit more specialized. And usually when you see the advanced name in the title of the exam, that means you're dealing with some technology that may not be part of your day-to-day responsibilities, something that you might have to go and get that additional skill, that additional information in order to be able to pass that exam. Unless you're doing IPv6 on a daily basis, then you should be okay. But if you're not doing IPv6 on a daily basis, you might want to go out and get some additional information. Desktop infrastructure, again, this one deals with managing VDI, managing personalizations of desktops, very broad skill as well for a desktop environment, managing desktop solutions. So if you currently have an MCSA on Windows 2008, or if you have an MCITP, Okay, and those are the MCITPs that are covered. And you want to move on? We have a jump exam that we call it, or an upgrade exam, which is exam 417. What exam 417 does is that it spares you the time of doing 410, 411, and 412. Okay, so if you've got MCSA 2008, or you've got an MCITP, you take 417, and then you're jumped right away to the MCSA on Windows Server 2012. Then you want to go to the MCSE. Well, you follow the traditional path. So the first question I usually get when I talk about this is, what happens if I've got my MCSE or MCSA on Windows 2003? If you've got a certification on Windows 2003, your upgrade path is by taking the individual exams. There is no jump exam for you. Okay? So you have to take 410, 411, 412, and then move on from there. All right? Is that clear for everybody? So the question is the MCSA on Windows 2008, is that still available? Absolutely it is. Okay, so you can take exams 640, 642, and 643 to get your MCSA on Windows 2008. And that certification is also updated for Windows 2008 R2. So R2 SP1, actually, is the latest refresh of that certification. So you have lots of current questions that deals with current content in there. So one of the other things that has changed tremendously in the last year or so is the types of questions that are asked in the exams. So you guys are all familiar with the multiple choice question, choose one out of four. These have been around for a long time, and we still have multiple choice question. But we want to entertain you. We don't want you to sit in an exam and just be asked multiple choice questions. We want you to feel like you're having to deal with situations that you may encounter in your job, scenarios that you may encounter in your jobs. Graphical interpretations, multiple sources of information that are coming at you, long, detailed text that provides information about the environment. That's all the reality of being a consultant or being an administrator that has to deal with decisions or making decisions in a corporate environment. So we want to do a little bit of that for you. So there's these questions now that are dealing with or that are providing different experiences for the test taker. So some of these you may have seen before, and I'll go through all of them. Some of them are totally new, and some of them are so new that they're not even available yet in exams. But the exams are being developed right now, and they will be available in the coming months. So I'll let you guys take a look at all these questions in a couple of minutes. One of the big changes that we have, or that we've done here, is also the implementation of a lot of scenario-based case studies. So case studies is one of those things that were introduced in Windows 2000. Again, long amount of text and then few short questions that are relating back to that text. So we may provide you a scenario that is 5 or 6 pages of information about the environment and requirements about the environment, business requirements, technical requirements, security requirements, development requirements. And then based on all that information, we're going to ask you some very short, quick questions. Okay, so you've done all your reading and all your effort synthesizing this whole scenario, and now we're going to ask you very short questions that relate back to that scenario. So that's a case study. Typically, you'd have 8 to 12 questions that would relate back to a case study scenario questions. So that's another thing that we've done as well. Now, one of the things that's really, really important is to kind of know what to expect, to recognize the information in the questions. What do I mean by that is that every single Microsoft certification question will have a similar, sometimes almost identical, format of text structure in the text, in the question. And if you can relate or if you can identify those different sections easily, you'll be able to cue in to what information is relevant for you in order to help you find that important information in the question and get away with all the information that's not. And we call that the anatomy of the question. So every question will always start with a business problem. And the business problem is essentially the environment. You have 200 client computers. You have a server named Server 1. It runs Windows Server 2012. It's all the information about the environment. Also, it includes an overarching goal. Something like, you plan to upgrade to Windows 2012 Active Directory. You plan to deploy Office 365 in a hybrid solution with Link Server 2013. And then you have a goal statement. Now, that goal statement is probably the most important part of your question. And every single Microsoft certification exam will have a goal statement that starts with the same three words. You need to. You need to do something. Whatever it is you need to do, that's what we're asking you in the question. So if it follows the you need to statement, that is the most important part of that question. You need to install Windows Server 28, Windows Server 2012 on server 1 as quickly as possible. You need to ensure that the A record refreshes every 5 seconds. You need to do something. Whatever is your answer of that question, it always relates back to that you need to statement. Okay? Every exam will have that. Then after that, we'll have a short question statement, something like, what should you do, or which should you choose, or something like that. And then you'll have your correct answers. We'll tell you how many correct answers you'll have. If there's more than one, we'll tell you. Choose two, choose three. And then we'll have wrong answers. We make sure that the wrong answers are really wrong. They're not kind of wrong. They're really wrong. And so that you don't sit there and think, well, you know what, there's actually two correct ways of answering this question. Now, let me tell you, there's a new kind of question that I'm not covering later on that I just want to talk about right now because it fits in this subject. We have a kind of question where there's more than one correct answer, but you can only pick one. It's a new type of question that we call best answers. So we tell you in the question, we say more than one answers may be correct. Choose the best answer. And that is because of the feedback that people would say, hey, you know what? As a consultant, I need to make judgment calls all the time. I need to find out, there's 5 ways of doing it, but I got to find out which one is the best. And that is an important skill to test on, is being able to identify if you know what is the best way to do something. So now we have questions that are like that. Choose the best solution. All right? Now, how do we know what the best solution is? We didn't decide. We hire a whole bunch of subject matter experts in the solution, and we ask them, what's the best way? Based on this scenario, what is the best way of implementing this solution? And they decide. So it's not Microsoft that decides what's the best way. It's not the engineers who design the product or the individuals who sell the products for Microsoft. It is really experts who implement the solution in the field. They are the ones who tell us what is the best solution. Okay? Something very important that you should know about the Microsoft certification program, and it will make sense in a minute, questions are not designed to be tricky. I'm going to repeat that. We don't want to trick anybody in the questions. Because you know what tricking does? Tricking does 2 things that are bad. First of all, it tricks the qualified person into failing. And it allows the unqualified person to kind of guess and maybe pass. There's 2 things that I fear the most in certification. One, that somebody who's unqualified passes. I don't like it when somebody who's not qualified passes. But there's something I fear even most. Somebody who is qualified fails. Okay? We don't want to make people who are qualified fail the exams. We want them to be able to get their certification to differentiate their skills. We have failed the developing exams if the individual who is qualified cannot pass the exam. Okay? And by tricking people, we will make sure that qualified people will fail. That's why the exams are not designed to be tricky at all. Okay? They're designed to be challenging, discriminating, differentiating between qualified and not, but not tricky. All right, so multiple choice questions. You've seen those before. Choose one or choose multiple. So again, if you have to choose more than one, we'll tell you. We have a new type of question also called extended matching question. An extended matching question is basically a set of answer choices that are shared between 5 or 6 questions. So you may get 5 or 6 questions that have the same answers. 8 or 9 answers will be provided, or answer choices will be provided. And then you'll get different questions, typically in the same subject or the same topic. So you'll have something of DHCP, or you'll have something of implementing Windows, and then you'll have something like 9 commandlets. And then you'll have 5 different questions that will always have those 9 commandlets as answer choices. It's not a bug in the testing engine. That is the way that it's designed. Okay, those are called extended matching questions. In an extended matching question, you will always have to pick one. Okay, they're never choose multiples. You'll always have to pick one. Case studies I mentioned before, that's what the case study navigation looks like. You get buttons on the left where you get to navigate between the various areas of your case study. So if you're not sure exactly what the business requirement were or what the technical requirements were, you can click on the button that's called technical requirements and then breeze through the technical requirements instead of having to go back and reread the whole case study as you're answering the questions. So you have an easy navigation there. Right? In case studies, you can expect as well exhibits, so diagrams about the network as well. And again, because you've invested so much time in reading this whole case study, we then provide you a larger breadth of questions. So you get 8 to 12 questions for reading that whole case study. Drag and drop questions. Drag and drops basically are questions that have been around for a long time. You drag items from the left to an area on the right. Sometimes that would be dragging a solution to a server. Sometimes it's dragging a technology to a requirement. So sometimes we would list the requirements on the right and provide you a list of technologies on the left, and then you drag and drop the technologies to the requirements. Okay? Hot area. A hot area question is basically you have a screenshot of the environment, and you get to click the various area in the environment that you need to select. Okay, so that may be an interface. Which button do you need to click on to actually meet your solution? If you're a developer, a new type of question that is now available in developer exams are short answer question. Essentially a free field text, a free form field where you can enter text and you can type in your code. Now people tell me, well, that's not very realistic because when I type in code as a developer, I've got IntelliSense telling me if I've got a syntax error in my code. And we don't want to test on syntax errors, which is why we've provided the same feature as IntelliSense inside the testing engine. So when you're typing in and you're making a typo or a syntax error, it will actually tell you the same way that IntelliSense will. So we've gone through a lot of work to ensure that what you're typing in there, we won't give you more information than IntelliSense or less information than IntelliSense. We'll actually be able to stream you to give you a realistic experience as to if you were typing in real code. Okay? So this is the first time in any Microsoft certification exams that we provide you the possibility of just typing in your answer. And we have an engine that validates that that answer is the right code. A new type of question that you have not seen yet is called a two-part analysis. So this is an example of a two-part analysis. Again, it's not available just yet. And a two-part analysis is basically you have a solution that you need to implement in two different environments. Okay? Or you have two different technologies that you need to deploy. So you have to assess multiple parts of that environment. So it's kind of multiple elements of an environment that you need to look at either the coexistence or the broader scale deployment. You will only see those in MCSE exams. You will not see those in MCSA exams, okay? Because they have to do with broader scale solutions. So we call those two-part analysis. Code analysis also, you will have now questions where you have to read code and tell us, what does that code do? So on line 19 of this code, it actually does this. On line 23, it does that. And we provide you with yes or no statements so that you can answer these various statements that we provide for you into a yes, no. So the code does this or the code does that, yes or no. Is that true? Is that false? Is that correct? Is that incorrect? We're providing you with the information. You just have to choose with the radio button, yes or no. So you're analyzing the code. Again, we're trying to give you an experience that would simulate what you would encounter if you actually were being tested on a job. Graphic interpretation is also another new type of question that's not available just yet, where we're just giving you a graphic, and we're telling you then, what's going on here? What's the configuration in this graphic? That graphic may be a network diagram. That graphic may be a configuration window. So you may have three or four configurations windows of a server. This is how the server is configured. Will it be able to transfer voicemail messages from the UM solution to the user's mailbox? And that's it. That's the whole question. This is your graphics. Now interpret it. That's what we call it, a graphic interpretation question. Another question type that I don't have in my slides that's also new and that's actually available already is a question type where you actually get to build your PowerShell command. So we actually provide certain elements of a PowerShell command, and other elements are provided in drop-down lists. So, for instance, the first commandlet and certain parameters you need to choose from a drop-down list, and the parameters that are irrelevant are already provided for you in the field. So you building your whole PowerShell command. I really like those because you get to choose from a list of 3 or 4 commandlets or 3 or 4 parameters. So you kind of really need to know which one is going to be the right one. And we're mimicking the experience again of you having to type in that PowerShell command. We typically don't ask questions about PowerShell commands unless there's a true value add of running it in PowerShell as opposed to the GUI. Okay, so if there's an option that anybody's, we're not going to ask you the PowerShell command for, you know, creating a new user when everybody's creating a new user from the GUI. However, if you're going to have to create 500 users for a larger scale environment, then there's a true value add for doing this in PowerShell. Any questions on the new item type so far? Yes, sir. No. The question was, any simulation right now in the exams? And the answer to that is no. Yes, sir. Oh, so you're talking about the resources for the exam?
Yeah, the resources and what specifically if Microsoft is doing anything to better prepare the learning practice for the exam.
Yes, so I'll talk a little bit later on. I hope that I understand your question, but I'm going to talk a little bit later on of the various resources, the types of resources, and the breadth of resources that are available. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. If I don't cover what you're looking for after that, then I'll see if I can maybe add some more information for you. Okay? Thank you. Sorry, yes?
Is there a case study for the time limit?
The time limit is, I have to say that usually I don't find many people have problems with the amount of time for the exam. Say that the time is no longer or shorter because you have case studies or you don't. Because if I'm giving you a case study, and then I'm going to give you 10 questions that are from that case study. You don't have to read 10 long questions. You don't have to read 10 long questions. You just have to read that one case study and then those 10 very short questions. So you probably have a comparable amount of words that you have to read through when you have a case study you don't. So there is no difference there. And usually the case study exams, and most exams actually, have between 40 to 50 questions. So time usually is not an issue. And by the way, one thing I forgot to mention before is that, or actually I'm supposed to mention it later, but on the subject of time, if you're a non-native English speaker, you can always go and ask for additional time for the exam when you register. So if you're taking the exam in a language that is not your native language, you can ask for additional time from Prometric. And I think 30 minutes is the additional time that can be provided for a non-native speaker. Multi-source reasoning, that was the last one, again, is kind of similar to a graphic interpretation, except the sources may not necessarily all be graphics. Some of the sources of information may be emails. So we may provide you with 3 emails, from an email from the CEO, the CIO, and the CTO. And these are the things that these guys are requesting that you implement in the environment. Which solution should you implement to meet that requirement? Okay, so multi-sources of information, some graphic, some emails, sometimes it could be a log, sometimes it could be an output, and then you're using these sources of information to get to a solution. Now, some tips in taking exams. First of all, you can expect that the exam will be 40 to 60 questions. And 1 to 4 hours. The longest exams that we have, the 4-hour exams, are beta exams. A beta exam is basically an exam that's in its beta form, and that's available for free with the registration codes that are usually published on Microsoft sites, such as Born to Learn, the Microsoft Learning blog. And a beta exam will usually have somewhere like 100 to 120 questions, so it's very, very long, but we give you 4 hours. When you take a beta exam, you don't pay for it, you do it for free, but you also don't get your results right away. Usually it takes about 6 to 8 weeks for you to get your results as Microsoft sifts through the results and determines what really is the passing score for that exam. On the topic of passing score, the passing score for all exams is always 700. Now, 700 always never means 70 out of 100. There's a weighted process that goes in to determine exactly what the passing score is for each exam, and you guys will never know what the passing score is. You know that it's 700, but you don't know what that 700 represents. So you always need to get 700 or more to pass the exam. And sometimes that means getting 24 questions correct, and sometimes it means getting 35 questions correct, depending on the exam. Okay? And Microsoft has an internal process that they use to determine the passing score for each exam. You can go back and review questions after you finish your exam. So when you finish your entire exam, you can go back and review questions that you've marked. Okay? So that's a very important process. My recommendation is that your first gut feeling as to what is the correct answer is usually the right one. So I actually have a rule that I never go back and review any questions. Pass or fail, that's the reality that I have to deal with, but I never go back and review because I kind of feel like it's my gut feeling. But sometimes, you know, you think about something and it mulls over in your head, and then you go back and say, you know what, maybe I should have changed that. There is no partial marks in any of the Microsoft exams. So if we're asking you to do many things in a specific question, it's always right or wrong. It's always 1 point. Okay, they're all worth 1 or 0. So at this point, and that may change in the future, at this point there is no partial marks in Microsoft certification exams. I just mentioned that before. Yes, something else that's important is that there's no points deducted for a wrong answer. So if you don't know, don't just move on to the next question in fear of just answering that question. Just pick an answer, right? The engine will actually let you move along to the next question even if you don't answer. And I've done this before by mistake. But you should not guess. If you feel like you don't know, just pick an answer and move on. What to expect when you arrive? You absolutely need a couple pieces of ID when you go and register. The registration for all exams is done through Prometric, prometric.com. Prometric is the testing vendor for all Microsoft certification exams. If you guys have taken exams a few years ago, you might have done it with Vue or Prometric. Today, we only deliver exams through Prometric. Good thing to do is always to arrive a little bit early. Don't be nervous. Be relaxed. Don't panic. All right? It's very important to be calm when you're taking the exam. The more nervous you are, the more chances you have of doubting yourself, doubting your knowledge, and that's when you're going to get the wrong answers, guaranteed. Okay? So try to be as calm as possible. Don't drink too many cups of coffee, and just be really calm. You don't need to get every question right to pass the exam. So that's one of the things that you need to remind yourself. And sometimes people get a few questions at the beginning of their exam. They're like, wow, I really didn't know this. And then throws them off their game. That's okay. You can get 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 maybe questions wrong and still pass the exam. All right? So just be calm. Take one question at a time and just move on to the next one. If you have a question that is particularly long, and there are some questions that are really challenging and really long, don't forget that it's worth the exact same amount of points as the next question that may be shorter. So if you have one question that's really long, you're running out of time, just mark it for review so that you can get back to it later and just move on to the next one, okay? Just treat them as treat them and just move on to the next one. And then after that, the ones that were really long and challenging, instead of taking all the stamina away from you and making you really tired for the rest of the exam, just mark them and review them a little bit later. That's probably the safest thing to do. All right, now, in terms of preparations and what you can do at this point, there's lots of resources here that we have available, and I'm just going to talk first about the resources we have available here at TechEd. We have, first of all, the study hall. Now, the study hall is in room 348, so it's just at the end of the hall over here. And inside the study hall, you have machines that are loaded with practice exams. Now, the practice exams are probably one of the best ways to prepare for an exam, because the practice exams are done by certified vendors that create practice questions that cover all the topics that are covered in the exam. So these are not copies of the questions. These are not unapproved versions of the questions or questions that are bad. These are questions that are developed purely for the purpose of preparation. So there's two vendors. There's a Measure Up and Transcender that are providing exams, practice exams, for free here at TechEd. Usually you have to pay for those. At TechEd, they're free if you sit at one of those machines in the study hall. Yes, sir?
Just wanted to know if Measure Up is the one
I have to say, out of the two, Measure Up has many more of the current certification exams than Transcender. That was my experience when I walked through the all the practice tests a few days ago. So yes. So Measure Up and Transcender, those practice tests are great. We have also Safari books online where, again, normally you have to pay for those, but you can read all of the Microsoft Press books and a bunch of other technical books online by sitting at those virtual machines in the study hall. So definitely recommend that you're using those as well. We have also Microsoft certified trainers. They're all wearing the green shirts, the MCT ambassadors. They all have 50 or more exams that they've taken in their career, sometimes many more. There's a guy over there, if you see him, he's a big Brazilian guy. His name is Telmo. I think he has like 80 exams under his belt. And definitely he's taken one too many. I think he's a bit of a junkie. But these guys basically have gone through the experience of preparing for exams and preparing others for exams as well. So they're a great wealth of resources, and I really recommend that you go in and talk to those guys. We have also exam prep sessions for several exams. So 410, 411, 412, 413, 414, 341, 342, 336, 337, a SharePoint, Link, all of those. We're covering all the windows, the SQL, the SharePoint, the Link, the Exchange, the private cloud. We're covering all those in exam prep sessions. Some of those have already run, and they'll be available as downloadable content after the conference. And some of them are still going to be running today and tomorrow. So look at your exam, look at your schedule builder for sessions, EXM sessions, and all of those will be listed in there. Also, we have a testing center here on site. All exams can be taken at a half price while here at TechEd. And you don't need to register in advance. You just walk into room 347 at the end of the hall. You can register right there on the spot, and you can take your exam immediately. I say immediately, it takes a few minutes to download it, and then after that you can sit down and you can take the exam. Okay? So normally the exam, I believe, is about $120 or $140, and so they're half price. As well, we have about 10 or 12 people from Microsoft Learning that are here, people that are in charge of developing the courseware, in charge of developing the exam, in charge of developing the certification, the overall certification maps. They're here at TechEd. Usually they'll be on the show floor at the Microsoft Learning booth, at the certification and training booth, and they'll be there to answer any questions that you have in terms of preparation resources, certification goals, and things like that as well. So between the Microsoft Certified Trainer Ambassadors and the Microsoft Learning staff, you have lots of individuals that are here to help you and to be able to provide answers to any questions you have regarding certification. Okay. So these are the prep sessions that we have. As I mentioned, we have them on anything from Windows 8, Windows 2012, Private Cloud, SQL, Exchange, etc. And again, they're all in your guide. Any questions? Or any more questions? Sir, you mentioned before in terms of preparation resources. So I just want to mention briefly, to prepare for an exam, there's, of course, the resources that we have here. From Microsoft Learning, the great resources we have is we have the instructor-led training. So there's instructor-led training. There's e-learning as well. So you can purchase some additional e-learning if you want to study from home or study remotely. There's learning plans also available on the Microsoft Learning site. A learning plan is essentially a whole guide of all the resources for a given goal or an exam. So that learning guide may include TechNet articles. It may include Microsoft Press books. It may include e-learnings. Instructor-led training, and all those things as well. So you have that. You have also Microsoft Virtual Academy, which also has a huge breadth of online resources. And the great thing about the Microsoft Virtual Academy is that it's all free as well. Okay, so you can get lots of learning resources there. So definitely a huge breadth of resources that are available. Yes, sir?
The practice test?
Yeah. So the practice test vendors are Transcender, that we have here at TechEd, are Transcender and Measure Up.
Okay. And second of all, with the announcement of R2 for most of our products and stuff, what is the timeline to get those type of certifications up to par for that? Is that going to be 3 to 6 months after the release? Or?
So generally, what we see and what we've seen in the last few years is that when there's a new version, if that version is significant enough, like it sounds to me, I haven't had that much chance yet to play with it, but it sounds to me like the R2 releases, while the product are significant enough in feature change and functionality change, they'll probably command a change in the content of the exams. At that point, what Microsoft Learning will do is that they will update all the objective domain documents or all the study guides for all of the exams and list the fact that it now covers Windows 2012 R2. And that will usually happen when that version RTMs. So when you see R2 becoming available, within a couple months of that is when you will likely see the exams that are updated as well. We don't announce a time frame until we know for sure. But what I've seen in the past is that usually within a couple of months that arrives is that when you see the updates into the exam. Now you see probably the rollout happen gradually. You'll probably see the MCSA exams happen first and then the MCSE exams happen after that. And again, you'll see the change in the study guide. One thing I forgot to mention before is every single exam has a study guide that contains all of the topics that are covered in that exam. And actually, there's also an app. If you've got a Windows phone, there's a Windows phone app as well that lists all the exams and all the resources for all the exams and all the topics that are covered in each one of the exams. If you want to find the app, just make a search for MCP in the marketplace, and you'll find the app. It's a free app. So the study guide, if there's a new version that's going to be released, the study guide will identify that. And it will be updated immediately in the app because the app calls a web service that goes into the Microsoft Learning site and pulls that information automatically. Yes, sir?
Will they roll out or they add R2 to the certification? Will they replace the 2012? So would the R2 exams replace the 2012 exams?
No. So the question is, when R2 of Windows 2012 comes out, will the exams be replaced with new exams? No. Probably what they will do is they will look at the content that is there, and if the content is still good for R2, then it will remain. It will just maybe have an R2 reference in there, but it will remain. And any content that must change because of the technology change in R2 will be changed. And if it needs new question to cover new content in R2, then that will be added as well. But usually a functionality change like that won't warrant completely replacing the exam. It would just be adding relevant information in the exam. Anybody else? Good. All right. Well, thank you very much. Good luck. I hope you all get certified this week. Thank you.